But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with corporate news bending the knee. Move on to the continuing saga of Kilmer Abrego Garcia and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, What the Fuck Happened to Posse Comitatus? Let's begin, shall we? In honor of the No Kings protests, let's talk about the very cruel, surprisingly idiotic, and immediately contested fascist makeover of America brought to you by the angry orange currently occupying the White House for the second time. Because getting back together with your toxic ex is apparently a kink for 77.4 million Americans who should have seen a therapist instead of voting for an adjudicated rapist. For example, Tangerine Palpatine carries around a deeply rooted hatred for the Fourth Estate, otherwise known as the Free Press. Just like that colostomy bag he allegedly is hiding under those baggy suit pants he wears. For the first 4 weeks of his presidency, his regime banned the AP because they continued to refer to the Gulf of Mexico by its name. The State Department canceled their subscriptions to news organizations, evicted NPR, NBC News, Politico, CNN from their offices at the Correspondents' Corridor located in the Pentagon. And then there's the deluge of lawsuits against the news media, like the one time Ronald Grump sued ABC News for defamation over one of their anchors saying on air that the fondler-in-chief, who was found civilly liable for raping E. Jean Carroll and ended up giving the broke-ass billionaire $15 million to shut him the fuck up. Even though the presiding judge Kaplan in the E. Jean Carroll case stated in their ruling that what the tiny-handed sexual assaulter did to Carroll was in fact rape. But wait, there's more. Because if you thought Pervert Hoover was finished with ABC News, you'd be wrong.
ABC News is suspending its senior national correspondent, Terry Moran. It comes after the journalist described top Trump aide Stephen Miller as a, quote, world-class hater.
Now deleted post on X in which he was critical of President Trump's chief of staff, Stephen Miller, saying in part, quote, it's not brains, it's bile. Miller is a man who is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred. He goes on to say Trump is a world-class hater, but his hatred only a means to an end, and that end his own glorification. That's his spiritual nourishment.
Vice President Vance wrote, ABC journalist Terry Moran posted this absolutely vile smear of Stephen Miller. It's dripping with hatred. Remember that every time you watch ABC's coverage of the Trump administration. Stephen Miller responded, for decades, the privileged anchors and reporters narrating and gatekeeping our society have been radicals adopting a journalist's pose. Terry pulled off his mask.
In its statement, ABC News says it maintains a position of neutrality, saying ABC News stands for objectivity and impartiality in its news coverage.
This is unacceptable and unhinged rhetoric coming from someone who works at a major television network. We have reached out to ABC. They have said they will be taking action, so we will see what they do.
And that, my friends, was the White House press Karen yelling the fascist part into a microphone again. Literally telling Fox Not a News channel, she called ABC News to tell journalist Terry Moran's supervisor about the terrible experience she had reading his social media post, demanding that something be done. And ABC News just fucking fires a journalist who worked for them for 35 years over accurately describing the fascist running America as a world-class hater, which he is, at least the hater part. There's nothing classy about dipping your face in orange-colored bronzer and wrapping a dead rodent around your head in order to barely convince anyone that you're not fucking bald. Oh, and let's not forget the real reason Terry Moran in particular got the pink slip. Because it can't be a coincidence that the same journalist who told the Big Lebowski to his face that a pic of Kilmar Abrego-Garcia's tattooed hand includes some obviously New Times Roman additions with the letters MS and the numbers 13, brought to you by some douche using Photoshop was the target. And for exposition purposes, here's Terry telling Grandpa Drumpf he's not fooling anyone during their interview just a month ago.
The man that you picked out, he said he wasn't a member of a gang. And then they looked, and right. on his knuckles, he had MS-13.
There's a dispute
over
that.
Wait a minute. He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattooed.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Terry.
He did not have the letter MS-13.
It says MS-13.
That was Photoshop.
That was Photoshop, Terry. You can't do that. Hey, they're giving you the big break of a lifetime. You know, you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay. But you're not being very nice. He had MS-13 tattooed.
Right. We'll agree to disagree. I want to move on to something else.
Terry, do you want me to show you the picture?
I saw the picture.
Think it was Photoshop?
Well, here we go.
Don't Photoshop it. Go look at his hand. He had MS-13.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. I'm not an expert on them. I want to turn to Ukraine.
No, Terry, I want to get to Ukraine. No. He had MS as clear as you can be, not interpreted. This is why people no longer believe the news, because
when
it's fake news.
When he was photographed in El Salvador, they aren't there. But let's just go. They aren't there when he's in El Salvador. Take a look at the photograph, but they're there now, right? No,
but
they're in your picture.
Terry.
Ukraine, sir.
He's got MS-13 on his knuckles.
All right.
Okay.
Right. Well, we'll take a look at that.
You do such a disservice.
We'll take a look at that, sir.
Why don't you just say, yes, he does, and, you know, go on to something else?
It's contested.
So the reason Terry didn't just say, yes, he does, is because the picture was fucking Photoshopped. Kilmar does not have MS-13 tattooed to his hand in New Times Roman. We all saw his hands during his sit-down with Maryland Congressman Chris Van Hollen back in April. But facts have not stopped the Drumpf regime from terrorizing Kilmar for the last 3 months. First, illegally sending him to El Salvador to rot away in prison and refusing to return him after admitting in court documents his kidnapping and deportation was a clerical error. And then refusing to facilitate his return to the United States after several judges, federal, by the way, and a majority of the justices on the Supreme disaster told him to do so. But the icing on this bullshit came when Pickney Bondi came up with a harebrained scheme to facilitate Kilmar's return to the United States while also lying through her veneers about him to justify backpedaling.
Our government presented El Salvador with an arrest warrant, and they agreed to return him to our country to face these very serious charges. This is what American justice looks like. Over the past 9 years, Abrego-Garcia has played a significant role in an alien smuggling ring. They found this was his full-time job, not a contractor. He was a smuggler of humans and children and women. He made over 100 trips, the grand jury found, smuggling people throughout our country. MS-13 members, violent gang, terrorist organization members, thousands of illegal aliens were smuggled.
And that, my dearies, is why you never hire an ambulance chaser who was once sued by Hurricane Katrina victims who just wanted their dog back after box-colored Bondi acquired their dog and refused to return him. All of a sudden, after months of hearing about how they could not get Kilmar Abrego-Garcia back in the United States because President Bukaki of El Salvador was in charge now and he said no when they asked, Kilmar is magically back in the United States, albeit in a jail cell, awaiting a trial on fake-as-fuck charges for kidnapping based on a traffic stop from the long-ago time of 2022. Then Kilmar was pulled over, but not ticketed, by a Tennessee cop, and at the time, that cop had no fucking problem with Kilmar driving 8 of his coworkers home from a construction job in Missouri. That is, until 3 years later, after the Trump regime was internationally lambasted for being the illiterate dipshits they are for disappearing a family man from Maryland to El Salvador when he had a previous court order stating that he cannot be deported to El Salvador. But then, magically, that 2022 traffic stop the Tennessee Highway Patrol thought nothing of is somehow a canary in the MS-13 trafficking fairy tale Putrid Bondi is telling the American people now.
The traffic stop that we've seen video of from Tennessee, where Alberto Garcia was first identified by the local authorities, at the time, the Homeland Security Department declined to take custody of him. What has happened in between that time and in between the time that the government has been arguing that he was not returnable from El Salvador? What has happened since in this investigation that brought you here?
What has changed is Donald Trump is now president of the United States and our borders are again secure. And we were able to track this case and stop this international smuggling ring from continuing.
These were recently found facts, right?
Yes. Okay. Recently found facts.
And by recently found facts, Pandemonium Bondi means her team of pedophagers came up with some old bullshit after watching a video of a traffic stop from 3 years ago and charged Kilmar based on that bullshit and presented the butt munch running El Salvador with an arrest warrant, all in the name of facilitating Kilmar Abrego Garcia's return to the United States after months of refusing to do so when the courts, I mean all of them, told them to, and not fooling anyone in the process. Because when it comes to the Trump regime's policy on kidnapping and deporting every single migrant, Americans are not having it.
Here's where the public is. Support for deporting immigrants who have a job. Only 15% of Americans support doing that. Support for deporting immigrants who are parents of children born in the U.S. 14%. Support for deporting immigrants who came to the United States as children, just 9%. Support for deporting immigrants who are married to a U.S. citizen, 5%. That means 95%, 91%, 86%, and 85% of Americans are opposed to doing all of those things.
If you look at the polling about kids who came here into the United States, or people who've been here for more than 10 years who have not committed crimes, the polling shows that's where Americans, they're a little iffy about this mass deportations idea.
Okay, so you can categorize Americans coming out by the millions to protest in the street against Hitler's icy Gestapo dragging migrants out of their places of employment that way, but I think it's way more than just being iffy about what's happening. We're talking about ambushing migrants who are doing the same things U.S. citizens do every single day. They go to work. They take care of their families, spend money in their local communities. They are our friends, our neighbors, people who do not deserve to be treated like this.
We have to get all of these criminals, these murderers and drug dealers and everything. We're getting them out.
The conservative Washington Examiner, a conservative paper, has this quote out of a private meeting where Stephen Miller is screaming at agents, "What do you mean you're going after criminals? Why aren't you at Home Depot? Why aren't you at 7-Eleven?"
We are seeing reports on immigration agents raiding farm fields and packing facilities in Central California.
We can't take farmers and take all their people and send them back because they don't have maybe what they're supposed to have, maybe not. You know, you go into a farm and you look and people don't, they've been there for 20, 25 years and they've worked great and the owner of the farm loves them and everything else. And then you're supposed to throw them out. We can't do that to our farmers and leisure too, hotels. We're going to have to use a lot of common sense on that.
Masked officers descended on courthouses across the country this week and arrested stunned immigrants showing up for scheduled immigration hearings.
Several federal agents from the Department of Homeland Security showed up at two elementary schools this week demanding to talk to students.
A community in shock after a local high school student is suddenly detained by ICE.
To put families at ease, LAUSD Superintendent Alberto Cavallo has called for safety perimeters around graduation areas. School school police have been instructed to impede any federal agents who might try and target these ceremonies.
If we're being honest, none of these people being picked up are criminals. They're attending their high school graduations. They are at their jobs, working, showing up to court hearings, trying to get their legal status confirmed. And that's where masked cowards, barely dressed like law enforcement, are grabbing them wherever they are and disappearing them without due process or even entering their names in a mandatory database so their families can find out what the fuck happened to them, all for the amusement of one lumbering lardass who fancies himself a tangerine-colored king. I mean, why else would Dr. Phil be out there filming the fascism like this is just another episode of Cops in L.A.?
There was a familiar face, maybe one that you wouldn't expect, who was embedded with ICE agents during Friday's raids. It was Dr. Phil and his camera crew who say that they got a firsthand look at the targeted operations, which ended with dozens of people being detained.
Dr. Phil was out there producing a show that's going to air on his relatively small cable channel today and tomorrow. It's not about the ratings, ultimately. It's about what this represents, and it represents a desire to put on a show.
Because that's what this is to them, a show. Like the $45 million waste of taxpayer money so Old Yeller can have a North Korean-style birthday. Never mind that 60 disabled veterans were just arrested for sitting at the steps of the Capitol in protest of using the military as a prop the day before Girth Vader's dictator celebration. Or like how the Fanta-fascist has been trying to convince everyone in the country that L.A. is burning down thanks to the residents protesting ICE raids, and the only cure is more military.
Donald Trump is also doing everything he can to make Los Angeles look and feel like a war zone. Trump has deployed 4,000 federalized National Guard troops and 700 active duty Marines to Los Angeles. Right now, there are more troops deployed to Los Angeles than there are deployed in Syria and Iraq combined. Today, NBC News counted 12 Black Hawk helicopters sitting on a tarmac at an airport in Los Angeles. The Department of Homeland Security has been flying Predator drones over Los Angeles to surveil the protests. And yet, the reality on the ground is that the protests are both largely peaceful and primarily isolated within an incredibly small section of the city. It's basically about 1 square mile, covering a few blocks in downtown LA. California may be first, but it clearly won't end there. Other states are next. That's all part of the plan.
Damn right it is. Since not every state is going to give up their National Guard to the over-bronzed gourd like Texas Governor Hot Wheels recently did in response to the No Kings protest, Invasion Dawn has been trying to make an example out of California and its governor. Starting with commandeering his National Guard without asking first, in other words, breaking the law, but then ordering Newsom's National Guard to continue to break the law by assisting ICE on their human trafficking field trips.
Downtown Los Angeles, where the military is now assisting in the roundup of undocumented immigrants.
National Guard troops assisting immigration officers out on a raid. It is different than what President Trump said their role would be, to protect federal buildings and to help suppress protests.
They have a different mission. They're working in support of the federal agencies that are working with ICE on civil immigration enforcement.
With our orders, directed by the President, the Secretary of Defense has mobilized, and our mission is to protect federal agencies, our federal partners, their personnel as they conduct their federal mission, and even more in particular as they do the enforcement of federal law, and then also to protect all federal assets and federal facilities that are located in the locations where there have been demonstrations lately. They're allowed to temporarily detain and wait for law enforcement to come and arrest them. We train for a federal mission for warfight, so they're right now going through civil disturbance training and the standing rules of force training.
Okay, so that crap coming out of General Scott Sherman's mouth is shocking, considering he's the commander of the National Guard and should know that according to Posse Comitatus, no member of the military in any capacity can detain or arrest anyone on American soil. Period. Full stop. For 147 years, it has been the law that the military cannot enforce civilian law enforcement unless a president or Mango Mussolini sharpies all over the Insurrection Act, which he has been threatening, but he hasn't done as of the taping of this show. But, you know, since no one's stopping the National Guard.
Secretary Noem sent a memo to the Pentagon asking Secretary Hegseth to have and direct the military that's on the ground in L.A. to arrest and detain what she said were lawbreakers.
And as you know, the president federalized the National Guard under U.S. Code 10, which he has the authority to do. And our United States Marines and the National Guardsmen and women who are on the ground right now are helping to create a peaceful environment for ICE and Border Patrol. They needed reinforcements, and so our United States Marines who are on the ground are providing those reinforcements to ensure the environment is peaceful so that these raids and deportations can continue.
But he realizes they can't actually arrest people unless he invokes the Insurrection Act, which, I mean, seemingly was not something that was in Secretary Noem's memo, a clear distinction she did not make there.
Again, you're trying to conflate a letter that was sent to the Department of Homeland Security to the president's legal authority. The president understands the legal authority that he invoked, and that's the current situation right now.
2 days later.
We have breaking news right now. United States Marines have officially made their first detainment of a United States citizen on American soil, according to Reuters. And here we are. Here we are in the United States of America, where the United States military is now detaining civilians on the ground in California.
That's right, dearies. Army combat engineer veteran Marcos Leo was walking down the street, heading to an appointment at the VA when some U.S. Marines decided Marcos looks a little sus with being all dark-skinned and all, so drum-simping Marines told Marcos to get on the ground, zip-tied him, and handed him over to DHS for no apparent reason other than, I don't know, racial profiling? And just for shits and giggles, Marco was once a migrant who earned his citizenship by serving in the United States military. But I guess now, under Hennessy Hegseth's leadership, only melanin-challenged soldiers are recognized, which isn't surprising at all, considering Republicans' endgame to this remove legal status to certain people so they can be kidnapped for being in this country illegally seems to be the modus operandi. Isn't that right, AOC?
When they say illegal versus legal immigration, they are trying to end legal status in the United States as well. Correct, Governor Pritzker, with the end of TPS and making people undocumented by removing legal status and then having the audacity to call them illegal when they were here documented, correct?
Taking students' visas away from people, taking their legal right to be in the United States away from them when they've been granted maybe years earlier to stay.
So I don't want to hear about how this is about illegal versus legal immigration. They are removing legal status. The Republican majority is anti-legal immigration in the United States.
Well, it sure as fuck looks that way to me. Why else would the frozen Gestapo be hanging around courthouses in jeans without badges, waiting for migrants to exit their migrant hearings, only to be zip-tied and whisked away to fuck nobody knows? And another thing, members of law enforcement, whether state or federal, show your fucking faces. Hell, even the mustache man's thugs didn't cover their faces like these cowards showing up at Home Depot, restaurants, hotels, farms, and somebody's neighborhood to abduct children out of foster care, even as young as infants. All because they migrated to this country? Are you serious? For fuck's sake. Unless you're a Native American, we are all migrants, fighting over stolen land. Not to mention that California used to belong to Mexico before some lazy white illegal immigrants back in the 1830s refused to leave and started a war to keep their stolen land, and now we call that Texas. And now you know the real reason why the Alamo was fought. But flash forward to today, and you've got one of those pasty-ass daughters of an illegal immigrant running Homeland Security, sicking the FBI on a senator from California who also happens to be the son of Mexican migrants. But I'll let Senator Padilla explain what happened.
Look, I was in the federal building here in Los Angeles for a scheduled briefing. A briefing with representatives of the Northern Command in that federal building. Caught wind that Secretary of Homeland Security is going to be down the hall at a press conference. And our briefing was now delayed because of that press conference. So since the Secretary has been non-responsive, I figured let me go over and listen to what she has to say. Maybe we can glean some information here. And I'm sitting in the back of the room behind the cameras, behind the reporters, listening. And at one point, it was just too much to take. Not the first, but the second attack on the political leadership of California and this notion that Donald Trump and Kristi Noem have to come in and rescue the people of Los Angeles from Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass. It was too much. And so I spoke up. I introduced myself and said I had a question. There was no threat. There was no lunging. I raised my voice to ask a question, and it took, what, maybe half a second before multiple agents were on me.
So then the FBI bum-rushed California Senator Padilla, pushing him out of the room and into another room where they proceeded to knock Alex to the ground, face down, ass up, zip-tied the 52-year-old member of Congress while he was on his knees, which I can tell you, at his age, probably isn't a good idea, you know, while all the cameras are rolling. But then they just let him go. Once the show was over, the impotent rage baiters released Senator Padilla, and you'll never guess what happened next.
And they let you go. They took the handcuffs off. What happened next? There were reports that you met with Secretary Noem for 15 minutes after the press conference was over.
So this is a little surreal. So they took the handcuffs off. The person that came over said, well, if you'd like to meet with the secretary, you can do so after the press conference is over. Sure. I've been dying to get information from the department for months. I'll take this opportunity and see what I can glean. Did have an opportunity to sit with the Secretary Noem for a few minutes. You know, you think she might have started the meeting with an apology of what happened. Of course not. And so I began to ask the question I was trying to ask in the press conference.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, a sitting member of Congress has the right to conduct oversight of any operation being carried out in the state in which they represent, which is exactly what Senator Padilla was trying to do by asking Puppy Killer Noem what the fuck she was doing to the people of California. That's not a make a scene and zip tie the motherfucker moment when an elected official is attempting to ask a fucking question. But then again, we are talking about the lip filler responsible for making sure New Jersey Congresswoman LaMonica Iver was indicted on 3 counts of bullshit because she herself was trying to conduct oversight on a visit to an ICE detention center in her state. Senator Padilla was just trying to ask a question, and he was dragged out of a press conference, roughed up, and now the smallest Johnson to ever be speaker thinks Padilla should be censured for doing his job.
I saw the same video, a very brief video that I think many people did. I think the senator's actions, my view is it was wildly inappropriate. You don't charge a sitting cabinet secretary and a senator acting like wildly inappropriate, I'll leave it at that. What were they supposed to do? They have to restrain someone who is engaging in that kind of behavior. A sitting member of Congress should not act like that. The Democrat Party is on the wrong side. They are defending lawbreakers, and now they are acting like lawbreakers themselves. I do think that it merits immediate attention by their colleagues over there, and that they need. I think that that behavior at a minimum is, it rises to the level of a censure. I think there needs to be a message sent by the body as a whole.
Oh, we get your message loud and clear. When masked dudes wearing gear anyone could buy on Amazon are stealing people off the street, causing accidents in unmarked cars to kidnap people, and abducting babysitters at parks, leaving children in police custody when the parents don't know what the fuck happened to their kids and the babysitter, well, that's just another day in America. And if those pesky elected officials who haven't bent the knee to King Baby Coward keep asking questions and want to see what kind of fascist shit is going on in the Trump regime, they're going to get the ragdoll treatment along with some bogus charges. And for what? Who benefits from having law-abiding migrants forcibly removed from this country for what can only be described as pure, unadulterated racism? And to answer that question, here's Michigan's Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib.
Is that many of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, or maybe some on mine, their donors benefit from a broken and humane immigration system. The President of the United States benefited financially and personally by having a broken immigration system that keeps our immigrant neighbors in a broken system that doesn't allow them to come out of the shadows. Why? Because that's cheap labor. Let's be honest. They're arresting dishwashers, people at Home Depot at work, and their donors benefit. You know it. The restaurant industry benefit. They know exactly what they're doing. If they even wanted to fix this immigration system, they'd go to the people that employ them. And we know it. Now, detention centers. Guess who's going to benefit from private detention centers and holding our immigrant neighbors? Their donors. This is all for profit, all for cruelty, and fear and division. Fix our economic system in our country. People are starving. People can't afford basic needs. And you're ripping our loved ones away from us because you don't have the courage to fix our broken immigration system. It's been inhumane for decades. Shame on us, both Democrats and Republicans, for not doing what's right in this chamber and doing what is right for the American people and making sure we're not separating families.
Rashida is correct. Mine Incompetent has been hiring migrant workers for decades because they're cheap labor, while threatening to have them deported at the same time, a stance not uncommon when it comes to businesses hiring migrants. But that's fucked up when the douches running these companies voted for the bloated orange are now bitching about financial ruin to reporters who somehow aren't laughing their asses off during these interviews. I don't get it. It's for this and a gazillion other reasons why June 14th was dubbed No King's Day and backed by nearly 2,000 scheduled marches all across America. Because this country is a nation of immigrants who believe in the rule of law and will not be governed by none less than the will of the people. Not a round, gold-sprayed, painted grandson of an illegal immigrant who fancies himself a king. Surely not him.
No kings, no kings. We protest in the streets. $45 million for a made-for-TV stream. No kings shall survive. Our rights will never die. And don't be blind to fascist lies. Fight back for what is right. No kings, no kings. We protest in the streets. $45 million for a made-for-TV stream. No king shall survive. Our rights will never die. And don't be blind if fascist lies. Fight back for what is right.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.